the very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row.
In fact, it is a Tuesday morning. I'm having so much fun, I forget what day it is. Wayne Hawkes, good morning to you.
Morning, Gareth. How are you, mate?
I am very well. Now, you're not at the sales this morning, but you have had some success at the sales over the last couple of days.
I've been there all for about a week. It's an amazing thing, the sales concept. When you go to the sales, you're working hard, looking at them and, you know, over and over and over and doing bets and things like that, liaising with clients. And then when the sale's on, you spend 3 days just hanging around. And it's amazing that you just think, oh, I remember the classic sale the other week thinking, 200 lots away, that's a killer. But I don't know what you do in the middle of it, but you just seem to get through the day, I suppose. And, so you work very, very hard at the start, then you just hang around.
0416905052 to join our conversation. So how many horses would you look at a Melbourne Premier sale?
Don't know an exact number, but if I had said probably 300, that would probably be about right out of the 800. I reckon looked at 400 probably, or 500 of the 11 or 1200 of the Magics, and Sydney Easter sale. We'll look at the whole catalogue from start to finish. So bit better quality, and even if it was by a bit left field sire, it's got a left field pedigree, you'd be thinking it's there for a reason because it's a good sort. So you just go through and just mark the ones you like on pedigree, and quite often the type doesn't match the pedigree, but you've got to start somewhere, and there'll be stallions you like, stallions you just completely dislike because you've had five that you haven't had any success with, and someone else has probably trained a heap of winners by that stallion. But it's amazing. If you have one X and it's good, well, then it puts you in a good stead, doesn't it?
Have you had much success at the Melbourne sale? What would be the best yearling that you've purchased from these sales?
Last year's Golden Rose Quinella. North Pacific was top price at 800, and he runs second the Golden Rose, and Ole Kirk won the race, and he cost 575, and that was 2 years ago, and 3 years ago, Masked Crusader was without doubt the best-looking horse on the sales complex, and he was 340 because he was by first season staying in Toronado, so they don't generally go through the roof. So, they've been three real standout horses in the last 3 or 4 years. Did really like the Shalar Colt that Matt Laurie paid 700 for. Didn't have a pedigree, but he was certainly the athlete, I thought.
So it's been a pretty good sale to the Hawks family.
Well, it hadn't been, and to be honest, and just only until the last few years. So, yeah, last year's Golden Rose was fantastic. William Inglis Melbourne thought it was fantastic, and Magic Millions hated it. So they quite rightly told me so. So bit of rivalry there between the two famous auction houses.
Now, Ole Kirk's been retired after finishing down the track in the Australian Guineas. Was that an easy decision after how he performed there on Saturday?
Yeah, pretty much. He bombed the start and he went back to second last, and that's sort of where it ended up. So it's certainly not the way you want to finish a career, but I remember Australian Guineas about 5-6 years ago. We had a horse called Divine Prophet who'd won the Caulfield Guineas, a similar type of horse to Ole Kirk. Similar but different. And they'd won the similar races. And Divine Prophet came the corner. I thought, wow, how far this? And he never let down. Coolmore had a big, big check for Alan Bell if Deep Field went on and won the Lightning Stakes. And he didn't try too hard. He ran third and got beaten about a length of the quarter, a length of three quarters behind Lincoln Rupee. And it's quite amazing when your horse doesn't try that hard and they're getting beaten a length of a half, a length of three quarters in a race. It's very, very frustrating. So, truthfully, Gareth, it doesn't affect their sperm. And when they get a stud, that's actually what it's all about. Because, you know, it might change your price, whether you're a non-group one winner or you're a group one winner. But, you know, there's a couple of, Divine Prophet's got to do it. But Deep Field won his first group one 2 Saturdays ago when he quinellaed the Oakley Plate. And anyone that's listening follows Hong Kong. You mentioned the DF word, the deep field up in Hong Kong, and they just go nuts. So he's off and running now, deep field, so it's great. But Ole, yeah, he had his chance, and he didn't come up. So you know what? You can't take away what he's done, and he's certainly going to get in as one of the great horses that I've had anything to do with, and he'd certainly be right up the top of the list. So he's going to have a pretty handy book of mares at stud, I would have thought. He's by Written Tycoon, who is the hottest stain in the country. He's done a marvellous job, and he is out of the greatest family in the Australian stud book. I'd let someone else argue about whether there's a better one, but gee whiz, with the Black Caviar, All Too Hard, and Ole Kirk. All aunties and uncles of Ole Kirk, doesn't get much better than that, does it?
It's a big day for your stable on Saturday up there in Sydney. Masked Crusader, Canterbury Stakes, Written Beauty takes on some stars in the Group 2 Challenge Stakes. You've got Remarked. Does Cool go to that race, the Todman Stakes in Sydney, or does he come down here to Melbourne for the size over the 1,400?
Yeah, we're tossing up whether to bring Cool down here for the size. It's funny weekend in Sydney this weekend because with the two-year-olds, because you've got the Black Opal as well on Sunday. So what will happen is Plenty will nominate, accept him probably both, and then decide where they're going to run, whether they're going to stay in Sydney for the Todman or head towards the Black Opal. But we got called in everywhere, and he here's one we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. He flew home and just got beat at the night meeting, so he's wanting 1,400. So he'll come down to Melbourne and run with a horse of mine called Safe. SAIF, who had one start, one win at Ballarat, and they'll run in the size, and probably thinking maybe, well, it'll be Remark or Solar Winds. One will run in one in the Todman, and the other one will head on down to our Prime Minister's house to have a run around there. I'm actually going to Canberra on Sunday. I should stop in to see the PM and ask him what the hell's going on. Unbelievable, isn't it? Anyway, no politics on this show, Gareth. But, yeah, so Solar Winds will run in one and Remark will run in the other, and Cool will more than likely come to Melbourne. But as I said, I think we'll probably accept anywhere and everywhere with all of them, and they'd have to start making the right decisions.
In the Risley Stakes, Gastard goes around unraced Sebring filly. What can you tell us about her? Because she's the $8 second favourite.
Stard is a filly, and we trained her mum called Maastricht, and Stard's pretty well bred. Stard has a half sister called Loving Gabby, and she's a really high quality filly, this filly. And she's trialled up pretty good the other day in Sydney, so she's going to have a crack at the Riesling. It's never easy 2 weeks before the big dance to be having your first start, but you know what? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. She's trialled up good enough. She's got ability, but you're going to go inexperienced, obviously, when you've never had a race start. So she'll run in that. You mentioned Masked Crusader. Well, yeah, he's going to go for the Canterbury Stakes. If he'd run down the straight before, we probably would have thought about bringing him down. But yeah, we can't see Wallace Philly getting beat. If she's right, September run, and Craig Williams gives her the gun ride, she's only been beaten up the straight once, and that was last start, the Lightning, and I reckon if it was 1,010 metres, she wins the Lightning, so he's nearly a Lightning Stakes winner as a three-year-old filly going into an Oakley plate with 52 on her back, so you won't be able to beat her. So Masked Crusader will run there. Written Beauty's in the Challenge. She's trained on well. I think she's going to be taken on Nature Strip, but Normally he gets beaten first up Nature Strip, but Miss J Carr got him over the line there well the other day. It was an amazing ride by her to get that done. But Written Beauty's it's the right race, but it's certainly not the deep end in the deep end with her. And a couple of other chances, including Doubtland. He won the old Ascot Vale. He's in the Fireball first up. North Pacific will run in the Randwick Guineas. So he's been screaming for the mile, North Pacific, and he's out chasing his first Group 1, so it'll be a good race for him on Saturday.
I'm excited to see how Written Beauty goes against some of the stars of the sport. Do you think she's good enough to measure up against the best sprinters in the land?
Oh, she will be. There's no doubt about that. She's she's a Group 1 filly in the making. It's just whether it's going to come now or whether it's going to come in the spring. But you know what? Everyone's heard me a heap of times say it after a race, more so on probably racing.com, to be honest. But we don't make excuses for winners. They seem to just keep on winning and getting the job done. So, messy race she won the other day in Sydney. It was not much went right. He was sort of caught deep in a small field. And Willie Pike came out to the Melbourne sales the first time ever. He'd never been to sales before. So, he came out on Sunday. And we're talking about Written Beauty. And he said, it's just amazing, these small fields. He said, gee, it gets so tough as a jockey because you can see all the other competitors. There's no pace quite often in the race. And he said, I hate it. He said, I really hate it. Even if I'm on an outsider, he said, I'd rather a much bigger field where you can ride your normal race and hit the line. But quite funny, Willie Pike's there. He'd never been to Yilling sales, and it was sold $1.1 million. James Harron, the buyer, will fairly willingly fell out of his chair. So he'd never been to a Yilling sale before. So it was quite interesting to see the looks and the expressions and the questions he was asking about the Yilling sales. So.
He doesn't need to worry about going to the Yearling sales when Bob Peters breeds them all for him. So he just rocks up to Perth and jumps on Ferraris. Hey, what about Angel of Truth in the TAB Australian Cup?
He's going super, super well. It's certainly not going to be a vintage Australian Cup. They're never going to, I love it when people say, oh, the Goodwood's going to be a weak race. They're never weak races, Group 1s, but put it this way, it mightn't be a star-studded field, but it's not going to be easy because there's no stars in that race. But I reckon it's certainly a winning chance for him. He only got beaten, I think it was 1.8. He sat back last in a slow-run race and was punching the line as good as any horse. And he's an AJC Derby winner who's come back in great form, and he's thrived since he's been in Melbourne. He certainly wouldn't win a Mountie Enclosure Parade pre-parade best-looking horse. He's certainly not that sort of horse, but I can assure you that he's licked the bin and he's actually improved in looks since he's been here. So he's driving in the Melbourne stables. So I think he's got a seriously great chance in the Australian Cup on Saturday.
There was debate yesterday on the Ferdic regarding the All-Star Mile, whether it should be weight for age or handicap. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you look at the Newmarket, it's a bit the same, isn't it, with the Newmarket? I mean, should the Newmarket be a handicap? Should we make it weight for age? I don't know. The All-Star Mile, I'm not probably convinced either way. You've been under a rock if you don't know what I think about the All-Star Mile. I think it's a good race, but it's probably worth too much money for what it is, and this is going to be the third running of the All-Star Mile, and RVL have tipped in $21 million in the three All-Star Miles. I mean, $21 million. If we had put that in, spend $2 million on the race each year and be left over with $15 million, imagine putting the $15 million in the maidens and Class 1s on the bush. But, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. It's, there's lots of those questions, but I don't know. Does it make it a better race? I'm not sure. I would probably think, to be honest, not wait for age because we're not getting a wait for age star-studded lineup in the race. So if you had a heap of wait for age horses, I'd say fair enough. But I would probably rather have it as like a handicap, and then that way you're more of a chance for your horses down the bottom to step up. Whereas wait for age, a lot of horses don't handle the set weights and more of it's sort of sit sprint racing, and the good horses that have the turn of foot, they generally make good weight for age horses. So.
What about Zabrowski sold to Hong Kong?
Yeah, he's gone to Hong Kong. He probably didn't quite come up as what we hoped in the spring. He shows a tremendous amount of ability, and I've backed him. I'm not a punter, but I mean, I've backed him up all the way home in the spring, and he certainly let us down. So he's gone up to Hong Kong. So I know he ran second in a Derby, but I reckon he's probably more of a mile or 2,000 meter horse. So that's how Casper's going to train him, as more of a mile or 2,000 meter horse, big, strong, tough horse. So you don't have to be the best horse to go to Hong Kong. I've sent horses up there myself. That I've thought, when you've got no hope and they go up there and they just keep winning, and I've sent good horses up to Hong Kong, and they go terrible. So you don't have to have the best horse in Hong Kong. You have to have the best horse that acclimatises and handles those very, very tough conditions for a racehorse.
Wayne, there's a few questions coming in. You've got a first starter tomorrow in Sydney, Mr. Mozart, over the 1,100 metres, the son of Schnitzel. What can you tell us about that two-year-old?
Well, he's Zabrowski's nephew. Zabrowski's sister's Euro Angel. She won a Group 2 at Caulfield. This is the first foal by Schnitzel out of Euro Angel. He's a really nice horse. He's certainly got the visitor's barrier draw. I think he's drawn like 13 or 14. He's drawn pretty bad. Drawing good Barry, we thought it was a winnable race for him. Now you've drawn the bad, bad barrier. Well, it just brings you back a good peg or two. But he's going to run well tomorrow. And I think the pleasing thing about Sydney, Gareth, is that the weather's looking pretty good heading towards the weekend. Because gee whiz, they're due for a great track up there. And putting my hat on, I'd like to get North Pacific back onto a dry track. Last time he was on a dry track, he just got beaten the Golden Rose.
Yeah, and you've got a couple of chances tomorrow as well. Ricolto goes around in that first race over the mile. And Montana Flash, you gave that horse a bit of a push when he was up there in Sydney, but he comes to Melbourne tomorrow in that two-year-old event with Craig Williams riding from a nice gate.
Yeah, he only arrived this morning and he looks in great order. I think when he gets beaten by a length in a length and a half in a group race in Sydney, I don't know the odds, but I dare say I would have thought he would have been a short price favourite. So I'd be expecting him to go the races and all but win. So he's going to be hard to beat. Ricolto, really nice filly. Thought she might make it into an Oaks filly. Things didn't go right for her. I think she got beaten a fair way at her first and only start, but just forget about that. And if Ricolto runs a big race tomorrow, she's certainly one to follow on in the autumn, because she might end up being a pretty nice filly, Ricolto.
Is there a grand final for her?
Well, you know what? It's a bit like what I was saying about the two-year-olds like Stard. It's very tough in your first prep to do something, but she's a Pierrot filly. She was born as a staying horse, and we've just given her all the time she needs, but she really can gallop, and she's a beautiful-looking filly, so she is an A-grader. I would like to think the Oaks would be there, but if you're going to win an Oaks, you've got to be winning tomorrow. You've got to go in and win your next start, and, you know what I mean, go bang, bang, bang. So it certainly won't be easy taking on seasoned horses, but if you're good enough this time of the year, you can step up, but you certainly have to be good enough.
All right, then, Matty, have a look at the Australian Oaks there and see what price we can get maybe for that filly. She'll win tomorrow and she'll shorten.
The Hornet, has he been putting his hand up out there, the Hornet, has he?
No, he's waiting for Cool to win the Golden Slipper.
Where are you, Wayne? I wanted to see you today.
Hey, ask Wayne, what's one stallion they have had no luck with and stay away from?
No, that's a bit unfair. That's a bit unfair to Ben Dawes. Don't worry, there's a couple of them that are certainly coming to mind. But you know what? It's just amazing how you do have luck with some horses. And my father was the most winningest Group 1 trainer of Zabeels, and someone else might never have had a Zabeel before. So, you know, I'm liking the Toronados because Mars Crusader is a Toronado. And I've had some good luck with the Brazen Bows, obviously, with North Pacific, and then working our way back down. So, it's as I said, if you've had one and you don't like it, and it's not much good, it doesn't turn you off, but it's a bit like buying a horse, and then 12 months later, the half-brother or half-sister's there, or 2 years later, and the first one was no good. It does make it a bit more difficult. Like John McArdle bought Hummer Hummer's brother or sister a couple of days ago for big money. If you've had success, very easy to go back and have another crack. But there's not many guarantees in Yilling Saab, but I guarantee you one thing. No person is driving out of that car park with a terrible horse. It is the most beautiful beast I've ever seen in their life. And when they're unraced, there's always endless possibilities and dreams.
Ask if they'll try and go forward on Angel of Truth.
Angel of Truth, well, he's just going to, there won't be any instructions. He'll just lob where he has to lob. He only went back, he drew a pretty ordinary the other day. So when he ran in the Metrop, he jumped and led in the Metrop, and he stacked up pretty good. Glenn Boss came around us at the 1200 and set himself a light and got outside of us at the 1200, and then we got over racing and in the Metrop, and we only got beaten a length and ran third. So he certainly could take up a more prominent position. So old mate Pike from WA won't be giving any instructions. If he jumps, he'll go forward. If he doesn't jump well, he'll go back. And the other thing you have to realise is the barrier draws. You draw barrier three, you know, you can decide what you want to do when the gate's open and how the horse jumps. When you draw wide, you actually have to make a conscious decision of which way are we going. And what would I rather do? I'd rather it be forward and go forward because, as I said, it's not a vintage race, but barrier draws are going to determine what we'll do, what Pike will do, but we're under no illusions. We won't be giving him any instructions and tying him down. So how the horse will jump is how he'll ride him. He must be due for a winner for us. He hasn't ridden one for us for a while. No. So.
Now, Wayne, I've got one more question before we let you go. Do you have a winner today? You got a couple of nice chances at Kembla Grange, including Loka.
Yeah, Loka's the best chance in Sydney today, so he's certainly a chance. Skyton, we've got some serious runners in the next 3 or 4 days, so it's pointing in for us this weekend, and well, you know, for the next 3 or 4 days, so we've got to nail a few, that's for sure and certain.
Stab, what's the grand final for her? She does well there on Saturday in the Riesley.
Oh, she won well. She won the Golden Slipper. It's as simple as that. Right, she runs okay. You'd reassess and probably tip her out. And if she was disappointing and she didn't handle the experience, she'd definitely be in the paddock. But she's got a lot of ability. I had her down in Melbourne last prep when she was weak and she was light and she was working the joint down, to be fair. And this time around, when I saw her in Sydney 2 weeks ago, I couldn't believe. First time I'd been back in Sydney from COVID, I couldn't believe how big and strong she is. So we're giving her a crack at the deep end, and she's certainly got a chance. But the big boys, the one to beat of ours, Remark, he might be the real deal, Remark. So he needs to be winning the Todman Slipper on Saturday to gain a start in the Slipper. So if he can't win Saturday, well, he'll probably go in the paddock. But all right, he's looking pretty good at the moment.
I thought Cool was our best chance for the Golden Slipper, but we might have to wait another day.
Well, Cool's running this in the size. So depends what he does and how he runs in the size. Well, at this stage, we're looking to come to Melbourne. He might draw 14, then we might have to change tack. He might end up going to Canberra. But at this stage, we're looking to come to Melbourne with him. But the stablemate's safe. We'll give him a run for his money. So we've got a few nice two-year-olds running around the traps this weekend.
Always a pleasure, Wayne. Do you want me to put my hand up for Team Hawks at these sales, or you're okay?
We've ended up with 5. I think we'll just leave it to John and Wayne and let Gareth just talk about him on a Saturday morning. It'd be probably more the way to go. But you know what? I could always find a little share for you somewhere, Gareth. You've got short arms and long pockets, but that's okay. It's all good.
Good on you, Wayne. We'll catch up with you next week.
For you. You're on the big money.
I wish. Good on you, mate. We'll catch up with you probably Saturday morning. There's Wayne Hawks there. It is 10:55. I'm about to run out and catch up with Peter Liston. Of course, their Piero Colt going through the sales ring in just a moment for 3 Bridges Thoroughbred. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with plenty more here on RSN Central. We are live at the Oaklands Junction for the Inglis Melbourne Premier Yearling Sales.
Inglis has contributed to the cost of presenting this special outside broadcast.